Today on Seculo, President Biden jokes about the Nashville shooting.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, we are going to move on to different topics today, too. Secretary Mayorkas was just ripped alive by Republican Senators Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, and Senator Kennedy of Louisiana testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee. But, you know, we're here in Nashville, and there's still a lot of, you know, leaders weighing in on what happened in Nashville, especially the discussion about who is to blame and what is to blame. And in another move, remember, President Biden came down in that into that meeting at the White House, joking about the only reason he had come down to the meeting was not to address the shooting in Nashville, but was because he heard they had ice cream, chocolate chip ice cream. That was disgusting enough and unprepared enough. But this one's even worse, because he gets a question as he's leaving the White House. So you got to listen carefully here about whether or not this was a targeted crime at Christians, which, by the way, if this shooting occurred at a mosque or synagogue, there would be no debate,
right,
that this was at least targeted in some part at a religious faith. And in this case, the Christians and the Christian faith. Take a listen.
You believe that Christians were targeted in the Nashville school shooting? You believe that Christians were targeted?
I have no idea.
Josh Hawley believes they were. What do you say to that?
Well, I probably don't say. I have no idea.
All right, so let's go over that. For those who are watching, you got to see it. It was a little easier to understand. If you, though, were hearing it, obviously this is the president. This was, you hear the helicopters.
So the reporter asked, do you believe that Christians were targeted in the Nashville shooting? Do you believe that Christians were targeted? President Joe Biden, I have no idea. Reporter, Josh Hawley, that's a U.S. senator, believe they were. What do you say to that? And here's the joke, Biden. Well, I probably don't then. I don't. I have no idea. So because Josh Hawley suggested, a Republican senator, that it was a targeted at Christians, he jokes about it
and
says, I probably don't then. And he laughs in that. And then he says, is it a hate crime? And he says, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. So again, when you read it, it doesn't sound as bad as when you hear it. When you hear the president laugh off this joke, clearly, because someone just mentions Josh Hawley. And look, I'm not one of those people who says this kind of things. This is a point where you go, okay, this cannot be our president. This cannot be someone who's leading the country. Because you're so politically divided, you hear one name and you realize, I'm going to make a joke about a school shooting. Not good, Mr. President.
And again, this is how they are changing this debate. They are making this as this was Christians are responsible for these kids being killed who went to a Christian school, who were Christians themselves, and whose parents were Christians and teachers were Christians. They're turning this around to blame conservative Christians for the killing. Not the shooter, not whatever medication she was on, not the fact that her psychiatrist or therapist didn't alert any authorities that if she was expressing this kind of language like, I'm going to kill people or kill myself, they didn't have the right to go and let people know and actually put them into a hospital. They have the ability to do that if you say that you're about to kill someone or kill yourself. And that didn't happen here. Now, we don't know if the therapist was told that, but if they were, they would have had that role there. We also have Vanderbilt University here, which got into a whole thing with pumping people full of these medications. Yep. And we know she was in a transition process. This leads to a second outrageous point. So you got the president laughing about dead kids. The press secretary for the Arizona governor, of course, a Democrat, put an image on Twitter up saying, if you're transphobic, we're coming for you. And it was a woman holding two guns. Okay. She later, Twitter removed that and she's closed down her account.
Yeah. It was up for a full day, though.
Oh, yeah. We're showing it to you right now.
You can see it. It was a whole conversation. And it was somewhat was also against the progressives who are not progressive enough.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that coming up. And that's not the only person who made a statement against whether this is going to be treated as a Christian hate crime. So we'll deal with that also towards the end of the broadcast.
We want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Mocking the deaths of these children and teachers, custodian, because they're Christians and it doesn't fit their narrative. Dr. Secchio, we're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110 because I think we're under attack, not just in the literal sense, because there has been an attack on Christians in the United States. You know, we see this around the world. We do a lot of international work at the ACLJ around the world where Christians are targeted. We've seen a targeted killing of Christians this week. It happens to be in our hometown of Nashville. And we see how the left is responding, mocking it, laughing about it. This is the President of the United States who's laughing about it the second time. The first time he came down, he was going to address the nation about it, and he starts joking about the only reason I came down to this meeting, not to address the nation about this horrible school shooting where kids were killed, but because I heard you guys had some ice cream, some chocolate chip ice cream. I'll never forget those words. And then yesterday, which we played for you, and it's hard to hear because he's outside, they asked, you know, do you believe this was a hate crime targeted at Christians? And he said, I don't know. They said, well, Senator Hawley said that, who's a Republican U.S. senator. And he said, well, if Hawley believes that, then I certainly don't. Then he started laughing again.
Yeah, he starts giggling. And then I think catches himself a little bit and goes, well, I don't really know, and moves on. But this has become the story with President Biden. And, you know, this is when you want a president to step up, you know, when these kind of events happen, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's a disaster like in East Palestine, whether it is a school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. You want your president, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, you want your president to actually be presidential, step up and do something. When you don't, it's incredibly disappointing. Hopefully we'll do something about it coming up in the next couple of years, because it's really sad that this is where we've gotten. Even if you're a Democrat, you have to look at this and go, we can't continue on with this.
Who are the hate crimes being targeted at? Pro-life groups. We're going to talk about one of those in a bit.
That's coming up.
Christian schools by leftist activists. But it doesn't fit their narrative very well.
And you brought up that story that came out. We briefly mentioned at the end of it. This was from yesterday with, obviously, there was very highly contested elections. Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs. Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, ended up winning. And press secretary comes out with a statement yesterday. Her press secretary. The state's governor's press secretary. And what it has is a reference to, and this was hours after the shooting. So maybe, 15 hours after the shooting, something like that. It's a statement. Now, of course, these tweets are locked, but before then, are gone. Twitter did take them down after kind of the outrage.
It's a call for violence.
It is a call for violence, because they said, when you see transphobes, which, look, I don't think any of us would consider ourselves that, but they are labeling you, by the way, Christians, conservatives. She actually is labeling.
We don't get to decide.
She's actually labeling, by the way, people who are not progressive enough. That's one of the first statements, was if you work in the progressive community, you're not a progressive. So this is not targeted to just this. Targeted anyone.
What the image
and
posted.
The image is,
if you're not
again,
watching the show.
Hours after a school shooting by a woman who shot up a trans man, a biological woman that shot up a kid's school. The picture is of a woman holding two guns, pointing them at someone. Again, like you're going to be shot.
When we see trans.
It says when we see us. When we see transphobes, this person should be fired immediately. And this is a blatant also call for violence. This is what we talked about yesterday. The way that people talk on, really, it's on both sides, but not like this. This is only targeted really towards those who have slightly different points of views. And this is so disturbing. And again, as someone who is very sensitive on this topic, who doesn't like to, like I said, I don't demonize anyone over this. This can't be your representatives. Your representatives can't be the people coming out there and calling for violence. I hope she gets fired. I hope she gets fired today. And I hope maybe there could be something done. Definitely banned off of all social medias for inciting violence. Yeah. That's an easy thing to do. They did it to President Trump. Do it to this person. Do it to Jocelyn Barry, the press secretary, again, of a very large state.
I want to take your calls on this, because I think that the new demonization here, and it's not new politically, but now we're starting to see the demonization turn into violence against innocents, like those kids who were totally innocent. They don't get to choose the politics. They haven't gotten to that point in life. They never will get to that point in life now where they get to choose what they politically believe, or if they're even going to be heavily involved in political process. And they were 9 years old, and the teachers there, one was a substitute teacher. I mean, it's not like they were making some political statement by going to a Christian school in Nashville, a small school. They weren't flying signs up about politics at their school.
It does not seem like that, no.
No. And yet, the demonization has now turned into violence against us, where we have to all be in fear, not because your kids go to school now, but because they might go to a Christian school. Because that's a target of leftist activists, just like pro-life pregnancy centers
and
conservative organizations, which we've known has forever been, like us, a target.
Yeah, of course. That's why we have security. We've always had security. And the target pro-life pregnancy center is obviously something that hit really hard last year. And we actually have some movement on that. Yes. So I think that's something we should at least address, talk about.
Finally, we see federal authorities on Tuesday arrested a man. They say firebombed an anti-abortion group. It wasn't a pro-life pregnancy center, but it was a pro-life family group in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Family Action. It was firebombed on May 8th, and they found this man actually in Boston. He was charged. So he traveled to Madison, Wisconsin to carry out this attack. This was after the decision in Roe
after versus, it leaked.
After the Dobbs decision, right, was leaked, that overturning Roe versus Wade. So he will be arrested. He has been arrested for this firebombing, and I want to see how hard they prosecute him, because he should be. Firebombing is a serious crime. It step below murder, basically. You have arson.
Attempted murder.
You have arson involved, all these different federal issues involved. So the Department of Justice is now going to have to take this case. You know, they don't want to, but they're going to have to. And, you know, we talked about when the FBI had to put out a $25,000 reward, hoping that to lead to anybody, because you know what? They weren't going to do it the work themselves. You had to go find the people, and you could tell the FBI, then they would do something about it. Why didn't they go ahead and do something about this? And they better start monitoring very closely the radical left and the trans movement right now, because they're putting out statements calling for us to be killed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right. As someone, like I said, who's been, we've had these discussions ad nauseum about the way people talk about each other. And I feel that way, that we need to kind of reform the way we speak. But the call for violence is where things are getting just incredibly out of hand, clearly. Not just what you thought was a theoretical violence, and then there was a school shooting. You're talking about things that happen now in the liberal community that is post the shooting, calling for more shooting. There is a line, everyone, and that line has been crossed, where you can't just be out there and take it all and say it's fine and whatever, people are just talking, because they're no longer just talking. Now things are getting violent. We have to realize that there is a worldwide and really countrywide change that has to happen in people's hearts and minds, and we cannot live in a world where on social media you're allowed, especially as someone of note. It's like in her Twitter profile, press secretary for Katie Hobbs. Not like it was hard to find that information out.
A random person.
You know, right. There are plenty of random people. There are plenty of random people. There's plenty of bots also that are going to go out, and there's plenty of information coming from foreign governments that are going to try to do this to us. And they're going to try to keep separating us more and more and more with this. So you have to be careful that when you look at someone's account, are they even real? But this one was. This was someone, like you said, a person of note, an important person in regards to the way our government runs, if you will. So that is where the line is to me. You can't be the press secretary of Arizona and go out and start calling for more violence in the wake of a school shooting.
Well, we come back for this next break. We got a couple minutes here left. You take your calls on this too. Do you feel like it's shifted? Like now that we're under the threat of actual physical violence because you're a Christian. I mean, you know, I'm not even saying your church is like identified as a particularly conservative church or not, but just because it happens to be a church where there's a Christian school, that's a soft target. And these activists, this new activist movement we're dealing with. So it's is it a little linked to Antifa maybe, but it's something new with this trans violence call. Because even this weekend, April 1st, there was a call for a day of rage in front of the Supreme Court by that trans group that said this shooting was horrible, but it was because of what happened. It was a double horrible situation because of how this individual who shot up the school here in Nashville was treated, which, by the way, we don't know any information still about how they were treated at that when they went to school there 20 years ago, and it seemed like they were going to get the psychological help they needed and were transitioning. So they were getting all the things I suppose what a trans person would want.
Yeah, we don't know those details yet. That's not something that's come out, but we do know.
For a day of rage, and they say, wear your mask. And we can pull the poster up for people. It says, wear a mask. So when you're holding, now maybe they'll pull back.
Yeah, day of revenge.
Yeah, day of revenge. Yeah. A bot. Who are they revenging against?
Yeah.
What did the Supreme Court do? I'm trying to think.
I don't know. It's the whole thing is just a mess, and we've got to figure this all out, everyone. We have to figure out how we're gonna deal with these situations.
When we come back to this administration, while laughing about the shooting, also won't secure the border against fentanyl. Won't protect us. Yeah. Secretary Mayorkas went in and basically said, I don't care what you say, Republicans. I'm an open borders guy. We're going to just let it all flow in. Yeah. We've got all the sound to prove it for you.
It's not a direct quote, but we'll
walk you through how it gets there.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't take any of these threats seriously. In fact, he blamed Americans, saying that Americans are smuggling the fentanyl. We know that's not true. We know it's cartels. We catch them with the backpacks full of fentanyl. They are Mexicans and El Salvadorians and Hondurans. Working with cartels. Now, Americans ultimately distribute it, yes, in the United States, but it's getting here from China through Mexico. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Secio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue to. There's more on Nashville, including comments from the Attorney General of the United States. Remember, we were talking to U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, and he said, we're about to go into a hearing with Attorney General Garland, and we're going to bring this shooting up, because, if this, again, was at a mosque or at a synagogue, rightfully so, it would be considered a hate crime targeted at Jews or Muslims. So if you see it, an incident where a church and Christian school are targeted by someone with political motivations that church or school may have a conflict with, they would never have a problem jumping to the assumption, they may not say conclusion, but assumption that this was motivated by hate of that group and it was targeted at Christians and a Christian school, because they would do it for every other religious group, just not ours.
Yeah. There is a lot of people watching right now who just tuned in because of the way our system runs. Maybe we should play that Biden clip for those new who are just seeing what is the joke, because I think we need to set that up. Can we run that again? So for those watching on Rumble or however you watch it, you're going to see it. It's a little bit easier to understand. For those who are just listening on radio, it's a little harder. We'll walk you through it at the end. And then we're going to move on. We're going to talk about some other topics. So let's go ahead. Let's take a listen.
Do you believe that Christians were targeted in the Nashville school shooting? Do you believe that Christians were targeted?
I have no idea.
Josh Hawley believes they were. What do you say to that?
Well, I probably jumped that.
Probably jumped
that. No, I have no idea.
All right, so if you don't know, here's what he said. A reporter at the Press Gaggle said, hey, President Biden, do you believe that Christians were targeted in the Nashville shooting? Do you believe that Christians were targeted? President Biden said, I have no idea. So just kind of moved on. And then the reporter responded with, Josh Hawley believed they were. What do you say to that? And Biden said, well, then I probably don't then. And then he laughed. Then kind of caught himself and said, I don't know. I have no idea. And moved on. So that is the joke, if you will, because he even acknowledged it was a joke. I'm joking. I'm laughing. I'm showing you I'm laughing here. Again, while three children are dead, multiple adults are dead, and a nation is in mourning. You lower the flags to half staff, but you can't realize that when things are inappropriate.
Every day I have to drive by this. Now, when I drop my daughter off to school, I have to drive by this school, the signs are out. The media is still there. Every day of my life living here will be a reminder every time I drive into work. And every time I drop my daughter off to school, it's a gut check moment that you were never going to forget. And they're laughing about it because it was us who got killed. Christians. It wasn't Muslims and it wasn't Jews. It was Christians. And so you're allowed to laugh about that. You're allowed to politicize that. You're allowed to blame the victims for the crime. They are victim blaming.
Yeah, saying, well, you deserved this. This
you
is
deserve it because you have a political view, which, by the way, those 9-year-olds didn't have any political views.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the teachers did either. And it's a Presbyterian church, pretty mainstream. It's not like they were flying signs out saying we're so anti this. That's not that kind of church. Well, and by the way, even if it was, you can't kill people.
Well, I think this is a moment. This is a moment also for the trans community. So we have a caller I think we should probably take for the trans community to speak out and say, this is not what we're calling for. Look, not unlike a lot of people did post 9/11.
So they're calling for it online.
Because that's what we're seeing. And that, we're seeing that amplified. It's not necessarily just from people in the trans community. Of course, just like a lot of these, it's always people who are on the peripheral, who are just like, well, I'm someone who joins with them. And they're, so you hear it actually from them. But we have a call. Let's go to Charlie in California. Charlie, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Listen to you all the time. Yeah, I'm transgender. I have some friends that are either gay or transgender, and we're all Republicans. I mean, and we see this going on, and it's like, well, you really can't stereotype it. I think it just goes down to her therapist or psychiatrist should have seen something going on with this individual who committed this crime. It's obviously she's got some kind of problem. And it should have been caught before this.
Charlie, I agree with you 100%. This is not just because she happens to be label herself trans.
It really had nothing to do with that.
But we're seeing this call for violence on the left, which you say you're on the right, on the left by trans activists, I would say. Yeah. Like this
trans
day of
revenge, if you will.
What's it called?
The day of revenge that they're calling for.
April 1st.
Yeah, this week. I don't even want to put, I mean, we could show up for a second, but like, I don't want to advertise this.
We were very clear. We did not want to make this about this, but it's like the left, Charlie.
Well, I appreciate that. Charlie calling in, the member of the trans community saying, and look, we have, again, friends and family who are as well. And that's, they're not calling for this.
No, it's not, but it is, you got to, if you're inside of community and your community leaders,
spokespeople,
and the left starts trying to label your movement as a violent movement, you got to speak out real quick. And because there are some court questions asked, like the psychiatric questions, fair, but also the medication question. They said she was in the transition process. Should she have been? And what medications were they giving her? How far along was that process?
It's going to open up a whole lot of questions.
Should someone going to a psychiatrist about having thoughts of killing themselves or killing others be in that transition process?
Yeah. Or what does it look like it opens the door for guns questions too. Can this person obtain legally 7 guns at this point when you are on these kind of medications? This is changing. And not even that, when you're just a person like this, how do we actually solve some of these issues? That's going to be the big question. If someone like Charlie calling and goes, you know, I'm trans, this does not represent my community. Well, good. There should be more people out there like you.
You know, the problem saying is the left won't put them on TV,
right? Because you have to fit into a bubble.
So we'll
do
it.
You have to fit into a bubble. If you're a member of the LGBT community, you have to fit into a bubble.
Shows like ours as a trans person to speak out, because we will allow. We want you to be able to do that.
Yeah.
To be able to say this isn't all of us. Don't think that this is all of us, because we're open and honest. And we allow free speech on our show.
Yeah.
Not MSNBC, not CNN, and our president would someone like Charlie would be excluded from the whole movement anyways.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, for being a Republican.
Most likely, yeah. For being a Republican, being excluded from the LGBT community is what you're saying. Yeah, that conversation has bubbled up. We know there's a lot of outspoken conservatives within that movement, and I'm glad to see that. Excited to see that continue to grow. And we need people like that who will come and say, yes, this is not representative of us. And we are not going to allow a group to honestly claim them, which is what happened with Katie Hobbs.
To blame here and say that
Katie Hobbs is the person.
These 9-year-old kids caused this man or woman, whatever you want to define the shooter, to kill them, that it was their fault for going to school that day because it was a Christian school. That's the narrative that Joe Biden's going to be comfortable with. That's the narrative, I guess, Attorney General Garland, we have that sound too. And we'll play that for you when we come back, that he's going to be comfortable with. It's like Mayorkas with the border. We're going to get into that too, with the open border. Blaming Americans. Mayorkas actually, and Dick Durbin, blamed Americans for the fentanyl crisis, when we know fentanyl is created in China, put together by the cartels in Mexico, and then take it across our southern border.
For sure. I know a lot of you have, we've been talking about this now for the last few days. We are going to move on, coming up in the next segments, and talk about some other topics. But it seems like every time we try to, something else.
A bigger debate. It is. Just what happened in Nashville.
Yeah, it doesn't even become a debate. It's going to open.
Discussion.
It's opened up every big political and social issue almost is encapsulated in this one conversation.
And religion.
That's what I'm saying. Everything is talked about in this one discussion. So yes, it has blown the doors down into what we can talk about. And that's good. I'm glad we're having this discussion. I want to have this discussion so more kids don't end up in a situation like what happened in Nashville. We're going to take your calls coming up. There's a second half hour on this broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge this month. We're coming to a close here. Doubly impact your donation at ACLJ.org. We're also going to be hosting Sean Hannity's radio show Friday.
Join us then.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We talked about how this laughing about what has occurred in Nashville, and that's the president of the United States, because, the suggestion by a Republican senator, in this case it was Josh Hawley, that this was a targeted crime at Christians, which, by the way, I know they can't come to 100% conclusion in law enforcement, but I want to go to Attorney General Garland because he was asked about it too. And I'm not expecting him to say it's 100% because I understand how law enforcement works when they talk about motives. But I know for a fact that if this was a mosque or a synagogue, he would at least say that it appears at first glance that this was a hate crime.
No one would question it.
And no one would question it.
Every Jewish group, every Muslim group.
So why would a church and a Christian school get shot up? Can we not say, well, this appears to be a crime targeted at Christians?
Yeah, at a minimum, it's targeting Christians because it's a Christian school and church. There's no ways around that. But let's take a listen.
General, I want to ask you about the shooting at Covenant School, which is part of the Covenant Presbyterian Church. I realize that the shooter is dead, but the shooter could have had collaborators. Do you plan on opening a hate crime investigation for the targeting of Christians?
The FBI and ATF are both on the scene working with the local police. As of now, motive hasn't been identified, and the police chief said at his last press conference that they don't yet have reached a conclusion with respect to motive. We are certainly working full time with them to try and determine what the motive is. And of course, motive is what determines whether it's a hate crime or not.
You know what Senator Kennedy asked Logan was, will you open an investigation? Not have you concluded? And he's saying no.
No, I haven't.
He's saying no, we won't until we have a definitive answer on the motive. But an investigation is how you get to the bigger issue.
Right, because they've said there is a manifesto, but then also the police chiefs have
kind of...
All an
investigation, not a conclusion.
Right, the police chiefs have kind of said, well, it's a lot of writings, there's a lot to go... It's not necessarily like...
Sure, I'm sure this is
crystal clear. This is someone who's unwell. So it's not like that clear in this sense. Or it may be, and we just may not know. And there's
I think it is going to be very clear that it was targeted at Christians, and... That kills the entire narrative of the left. They don't know what to do because they didn't handle the pro-life bombings very well. And finally, they're starting to take some action on those, but not very well. They got a lot of criticisms there. The border they're failing at, we're going to get into that as well. Our whole national security, my God, we have Rick Ernell joining us next. We got Iran partnering with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia was our bulwark, along with Israel, against the Iranians. Now, because of the weakness of America, and by the way, when they see these shootings, when they see our economy and the bank failures, this is when the bad guys take action against us. This is when they start shooting at U.S. troops again, which they've done in Syria. They take advantage of us when we're at our low points.
Right. And I think that that's become crystal clear. And we're going to take your calls coming up too as well, 1-800-684-3110. There's a few of you already on hold. Stay on hold. We'll get to you coming up later in the show. But like you said, Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us in the next segment. Is that correct? He'll be in the next segment. So if you're stay tuned. That's always an interesting discussion with Rick. We try to have him on, you know, a couple times a week. We have Secretary Mike Pompeo on. We have these incredible voices here at the ACLJ that can really speak in to each and every category of what's going on in the news, politically, socially, faith-based, all of it. And we couldn't do that without your support. And you know, we don't do a lot of pushes as much as we can, especially with these kind of topics, but we are headed towards the very end of our matching challenge and we could use your support. All I'm going to ask you to do, instead of explaining it all like I've done a million times, go to ACLJ.org. If you can make a donation, make one today. Your gifts are doubled. That's it. But also go there and see the incredible content written by people like Secretary Pompeo, by Rick Grinnell, by you, by our team here, video content. Make sure you're subscribed and all of that good stuff because the content we put out is second to none, and I really do believe that we have the best crew, and they're putting out incredible content, and you need to keep yourself informed As I say at the beginning of the show, informed and engaged. Again, that phone number is 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. Go to ACLJ.org and have your donation doubled. Coming up in the next segment, former DNI director, former ambassador to Germany, and a proud member of the ACLJ, Rick Riddell. We are joined by our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security. We're going to get to those issues too with Iran again and this new relationship with Saudi Arabia, the fact that Iran is shooting at U.S. troops again, and we're seeing this again just kind of unraveling in the Middle East, of course, under the Biden administration, which is barely talking about it, doesn't really pay much attention to it. It seems like they have no idea how to handle it. But we were talking about this call for violence against Christians. And Rick, you've spoken out about it too. The press secretary, and we've been talking about it. You've been involved in press before. You've been a press spokesperson at the United Nations for the United States government. A part of your career for, I think, almost a decade. If any of us posted any kind of message, which none of us would.
Yeah, we're not horrible people.
Putting up a message with someone holding two guns and saying, if you don't agree with us, this is what happens. We're going to come shoot you. That has no place in our political discourse.
No, and I actually happen to be in Arizona as I'm talking to you right now. And I have to tell you that the people of Arizona are really concerned at what's happening. You've got Katie Hobbs, who is now the governor of Arizona. Her spokeswoman has literally tweeted out a picture of someone with two guns ready to shoot in response to the trans shooter in Nashville. Now, I know you guys are in Nashville. I'm here in Arizona. This is unacceptable. And the media here in Arizona have reported it as just, oh, a controversy where Republicans are upset with the Democrat. Not shameful posting, talking about violence. I view this as a threat. I view this as the governor's spokeswoman saying, more violence to come if we don't get our way. And there's no other interpretation of it.
And we've been, by all the experts have said, you know, for all of us in Nashville who have kids in Christian schools, which we do, that these next 3 weeks are very important because of people that can be inspired to take the same exact kind of action based off, you know, what they saw. So if they are political activists too, on whether it's the trans moves or something, that the target is going to be a similar target,
right,
which would be targeting Christians, which for some reason, Joe Biden and our attorney general just won't. You know, if it was a synagogue, Rick, if it was a mosque, rightfully so, they would come out and condemn it as what it was. But because it's like happens to be a church, oh, we got to wait.
You'd have the ADL all over the news. You'd have all these organizations all over the news. If it was a synagogue, if it was a mosque, you have care. You have all of them coming out and making these statements. But you're right. It's absurd.
Yeah.
But Rick, I'm sorry.
The attorney general in Arizona is doing a tour of the state soliciting viewpoints on the merger between Albertsons and Kroger. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that the concern right now from the attorney general in the state of Arizona is not about the governor's spokeswoman soliciting violence and calling for people to use violence to fight back against their political enemies. This is a real dire situation. If we have another attack on a Christian school, it is literally not too much to say that the governor of Arizona is giving aid and comfort to those people who want to go and shoot up and make violence. There is no other interpretation. Where is the media in Arizona? Where is the condemnation? This woman who tweeted this must get fired. Katie Hobbs, the governor, must immediately fire this. We are not a nation that tries to push violence against political opponents. This is outrageous.
And the victim blaming going on. It's the 9-year-old kid's fault for going to that Christian school that they got killed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the narrative that they're trying to put out. And so, and we hear with Merrick Garland, we played that sound. I can't come to, we,
Have you even opened an investigation into it? No, we can't do that until we know the conclusion. But the purpose of investigation is to find out, not to wait till there's a conclusion.
And of course, it's not the trans community coming out and saying this. It's a press secretary of a governor. We had a trans caller in the last segment who said, this does not represent my community. And I think that is an important part that needs to play into this, is this is the point where you start talking about this, saying, we're not going to be people who just call for violence because you disagree with someone's point of view, or they're, or you don't even know these people. That's what I was saying. No one knows. This is a very nuanced issue within the faith.
It's a church.
This is a Christian school that, by the way, probably a lot of kids that go there, our parents probably may not be of faith. It's not always.
Even if they are, we don't know their politics.
If you're in preschool, a lot of people go to church preschool who have nothing to do with the religion. Yeah, you don't know the politics of the parents. In that area of Nashville, it's not the reddest of red areas by any means. So this is also a time to say, you know what? Also, we're not going to let the governor of Arizona's press secretary speak for an entire community. Now it's time for that community to answer as well.
Stand up. The problem is, I think it's who's going to give that voice? Are we allowed on our show? We did, but like it feels like the left, that's not the narrative they want out on this shooting. The narrative they want out of the shooting is blaming Republicans and blaming conservatives for questioning anything.
And I think this is going to get worse. And this is going to get worse because we've got people like the media in Arizona who are unwilling to call this out when it happens. You've got someone in the governor's office literally saying, here's a red line, we're going to start shooting if we don't get our way. You've got the media not saying anything. And so they're take one interpretation in the governor's office in Arizona, which is we did the right thing because the media is not condemning us. And maybe we should go further.
Rick, we actually have breaking news with that. And that is that Governor Hobbs' office has confirmed that spokesperson Jocelyn Berry, we're going to put it in quotes, though it's not in quotes, I'll put it in air quotes, ironic quotes, has resigned. And the resignation was accepted. So at least there is some, justice is the wrong word, but at least something was done in this situation. So a bit of a, I don't want to say a win because that's a horrible thing to say, but at least someone's being held accountable for such horrible action. So again, Jocelyn Berry, who we've been talking about,
of course, they allow her to resign.
Resigned.
They didn't fire.
We all know what that means, though, Rick.
Yes,
but hey.
But it would be nice if they actually used the language
fired
because of what was done here. But I mean, Rick, I want to jump to one other issue because I think it ties into all of this, too. It's the administration, whether it's Mayorkas yesterday basically admitting to being an open borders guy, which all the senators have now said, we can yell at him all we want, call for him to resign and impeach. He's playing the lineup of exactly what the Biden administration wants. He totally disagrees with us. He is pro-open borders. Dick Durbin's blaming Americans for the fentanyl crisis when we know it's emanating from China and Latin America. But also the violence and uptick we've seen against our own troops in Syria, and now this new partnership, which is so scary, between Iran and Saudi Arabia, when we were making great progress in building an even better, which was a good relationship with Saudi Arabia, and turning it even to a better one, and now they're uniting with their religious enemies.
Look, I have to be very clear on this, is that I don't think it's a coincidence that Joe Biden is condemning Israel, Bibi Netanyahu's government right now, at the same time as allowing the Iranians to bully us, to shoot and kill Americans without immediately stopping negotiations with Iran, isolating them, going back to the policies where the world said this is a regime that is not responsible and therefore we must isolate.
This idea of trying to negotiate, trying to figure out whether it's the regime. And what's the way out? I mean, I think that's what people are looking for, is they're just realizing that we're even fighting still in Syria to keep ISIS under wraps so it doesn't blow up again. And we've got 900 troops and CIA and contractors there. We've got a base up in northeast Syria. Now it's been under attack. But what is the way? Can this be corrected if we got a different administration in? Because we're all about to go through another presidential election cycle. It's happening as we speak. Can we get this corrected?
Yeah, for sure we can. I think I know the power of diplomacy. I know the power of peace through strength. But inherent in the idea of peace through strength is you've got to have strength and you've got to have peace. You got to have paths on both of them. If you want peace through strength, of course, you have to have a very strong Pentagon, a very strong military, and you have to have a president who is believable when using a credible threat of military action. It needs to be somebody who not only has that credible threat taken seriously, but has demonstrated that they know how to use the power very strategically. At the same time, not separate, but at the same time, you need a powerful State Department that is talking to our enemies and others, so that you're able to have peaceful talk. Look, I'm not for a weak proposal, but I am for peace agreement where we make it very clear what the American policy is.
Rick, as always, we appreciate all of your insight into this. Because I mean, Rick, before his intel work, before ambassador, was a press secretary for the United States, too. I mean, so talking about all these issues and how important it is when you're in that role, what you say matters. And yes, we've seen this press secretary get to resign. I'm sure they were forced out, but as I retweeted the article so you could go to my Twitter and see it. This time around, they should have used the word fired. You know, don't let them just resign, even if you did actually fire. A lot of phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. This idea, listen, victim blaming. And it's why, again, we weren't going to spend the whole show on it, but it's getting out of control to blame Christians for a shooting of a Christian school. Or blaming the politics of Republican governors and legislators for a shooting at a Christian school. Instead of the rhetoric on the left, which has called for violence against people they disagree with, and instead of actually looking at the issues, let's go to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Because I think it just speaks to where we are. The fact that our president is even still a second time laughs when we are talking about a school shooting in America. Don't even get into the politics of the Christian school, who did it, the trend. It's a school shooting in America, and you laugh twice. Get out of the White House and take Kamala with you.
Yeah, let's go to Tara, who's calling in New York on line one. She's been holding about half an hour, so thank you for holding.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to note, you know, living in a blue liberal state, I am part of a large church and part of the security team. And, you know, we do take these threats seriously. So the vast majority of us are armed. We have, you know, plans on what happens if there is an attack within our church. We have a large amount of children that are in our, you know, Sunday schools. So we do whatever we have to protect them. We're ready to do that. And we're also working on getting additional training from local law enforcement. So, you know, we're trying to be well prepared. God forbid something like this happens, because the rhetoric is getting worse.
And they're targeting us. I mean, that's the thing, Taylor. They're targeting the church. Now, listen, churches have always had to have security because there's people that go there, they get upset with the church, they get upset with the very specific
churches
issues.
Where people start throwing stuff.
You know? Yeah, okay. So it's always been a thing. And in schools, we know, you know, security is an issue. But now it's in our schools and our places of worship. It's not the synagogues, which, by the way, you know, the most hate crimes are committed still in our country. It's against Jews. And we actually, at the ACLJ, interesting that you pointed that out, have been representing a group of Orthodox synagogues who were being denied abilities to have firearms to protect their synagogues, which are the Orthodox synagogues. Some of the opening basically have prayer services going 24 hours a day, kind of an open door policy in and out.
As you said, the most hate crimes.
The most hate crimes are committed against Jews in America.
They're very out, because especially the Orthodox community, they're very easily identifiable.
We at the ACLJ partner with them to protect their Second Amendment rights, which were being denied by the state of New York, that said, no, you can't have guns to protect yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to say, the Second Amendment rights, this was just the rights to protect their synagogue. This was not a big legislative change. Just have security, which is insane in states
armed
like
security.
New York. Yeah, armed security, which, you know, most churches and schools should have at this point. Let's continue on. You want to take some more calls?
Yeah.
Bill's calling in Wyoming. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for letting me talk. I have a question. I was just wondering, the president actually all but denied that this happened there in Tennessee. But my question would be, I wonder if a reporter just turned right around and said, Mr. President, what do you think if that, do you think that this violence would have been prevented if we'd have had stricter gun laws? I just kind of wonder what his response would have been right then.
Absolutely, yes, and he actually already did that. It's called on a ban on assault weapons, which is a term that's confusing to a lot of people because that's not really what these weapons are. But because they look like assault weapons, they use that terminology. He's already did that, Bill. I mean, so he doesn't laugh when it fits his political narrative. When it fits his political narrative, he gets up to try to ban guns. When it's about liberals' rhetoric causing leftist or individuals who are psychotic to then take the next step of being psychotic, which is to actually act on your feelings and start killing people,
he laughs. This is the weirdest part of the politicization of this. They always say conservatives say mental health, Democrats say guns. And it's like, well, how about we actually have a discussion and talk about this? Because you can't demonize just both of those camps. You can't say, well, there's no mental health crisis in America. Clearly there is. Yeah. And that's not just related to one community. That's everyone.
And how do you keep those people from getting guns?
Yeah.
That's a real issue,
too. Through it for the last 3 years with everything that's gone on. We have a call coming in from Beth here in Nashville. Someone here in Nashville. I thought we should take it. Beth, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
You can. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm calling from Nashville. My child is at a school 4 miles down the road from the Covenant School. They went into lockdown on Monday. It was very scary for everyone around us. I'm actually on my way to pick her up from school right now because she's having emotional stuff. She's scared. You know, it's just very scary. I just think that these kids are not necessarily feeling supported because it's like, oh, you know, you can't say anything against the person who did the shooting. You can't, like, so they're feeling like, you know, okay, so we're just kind of like here, and is anyone worried about us? Is anyone kind of caring about us?
You know, but you can. You're a parent.
Beth,
you can
I live this, where you live, so yeah. I'm like over in your part of town, and I'm not going to name the name.
Of course.
Did you guys get more security at your school, like the last 24 hours, like Metro Police, things like that?
Oh, well, I mean, I think they're supposed to be like monitoring and kind of, but I think, you know, and my daughter feels very strongly about, you know, what they have on campus to help them. And so I have encouraged her to maybe talk to, you know, the dean of students, talk to someone. Why can't we have more coverage? Like, why can't we have somebody here just to make us feel safer? Because it's
we pay for our students to go to these schools. School. And Beth, if we all like, if they came to us tomorrow in Nashville and said, you know, we're going to raise tuition $250 a year to everybody, and we can hire an additional security person, we'd all say yes.
Yeah, if your school has a football team or a basketball team,
what's so
you
troubling
can probably
is
afford a
they're
security
not allowing
guard.
Her daughter, who's listen, this is happening to kids all over the state right now.
All kids are dealing with it.
I'm making sure I pick up my daughter today because it's her first day back. Yep. Her school had to close because it was yesterday. So close to Covenant and the media circus. I'm picking her up today because she was too young to know what happened. She was in lockdown just like you, but she did not know what's happened yet. But now she's back at school with kids and they're not sure. I don't know what she's going to learn today, not because of the school, but because of the kids.
Yeah, I mean, it came up, an email came from one of our teachers and said, hey, just so you know, most of the kids did know and one kid did graphically talk about it.
Right.
So clearly one kid who was like, this is a 7-year-old. It's a little different.
They know how to turn the TV on.
It is.
And the news pops on, and this is all they're talking about.
It is. Well, I want to appreciate Beth calling in, because that's literally what we're dealing with in the community right now. Do we have time? We have a minute and a half. Do we have time to take this call? Joy's calling. Quickly, Joy, I'm sorry. We're just running out of time.
Hi, that's okay. Thanks for taking my call. This person was, it was known that this person was under doctor's care for mental issues. The police did not know that this person was under the care. Doctors should have been able to call and should be have the information that this person was under care, and information should have been in the database that this person was a danger. The information should have been in there that the doctor should have, in other words, the people.
If you express to a psychiatrist, I appreciate the call. We're running out of 50 seconds left. Yeah. In Tennessee and in most states, if you tell your psychiatrist, we don't know if she or whatever you want to identify this individual, the shooter, ever expressed to the psychiatrist that they were on the precipice of killing themselves or others, the psychiatrist is allowed to go to law enforcement. So that person is actually taken into hospitalization against their will. They don't have to agree to it. which would have prevented the attack, at least for a time. The question is, how do you figure that out when it comes to background checks and then getting psychiatrists involved? And at what level does it become something that you actually report or your family can report? Those are the red flag laws. Some states have them, some don't, and they're all different. But it's certainly something that everybody wants to figure out as well. We're not ignoring that part of this either. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double your impact. ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.